What's up?
All right. So today we're going to talk about how to sell anything, even if nobody has heard of what you do, what you're selling, or anything like that. Sound good? Yes? Yes. All right. So let's just jump right in. There are two big problems people face when they're selling online. Two. What do you think they are? Raise your hand if you have an idea what these two problems are. People can't find you. No traffic. What else? No list. All right, so a lot of people are talking about traffic, and you're right. That is a big problem, but I'm finding that there's people out there who have some traffic, but they can't convert that traffic. They don't know how to turn that traffic into a lead or a sale, and that's what I want to focus on today, simply because even though you don't need tens of thousands of visitors, you only need about 100 to make some sales. You only need 200, 300. You don't need thousands of people, and I think finding 300 people, if you know how to convert them, is pretty easy. And that's why we're going to talk about how to convert these people. So what's the first problem? Is fear. People are scared to sell. When they have a product, they build, let's say they're writing a blog, they start thinking to themselves, all right, I want to launch this new product, but should I email my list or should I not email my list? What if people hate me? What if I annoy people? What if someone else sends me hate mail? Has anyone ever got worried that if you annoyed someone by one of your sales pitches, say yes? Yes? What about, are you worried about if someone sends you hate mail, how are they going to judge you? Yes? And or what about my unsubscribes? These are the things that people worry about when they want to start selling. They already, spent, let's say, years building up a list of, say, 500 people, or 1,000, or 100. It doesn't matter how many people you have, but it gets to a point where you know you want to release a new product, and you're scared to do anything about it. That's the first problem. What's the second problem? This guy. No. The second problem is disillusioned. What do I mean by disillusioned? Here's an email I got the other day. This person was one of the hate mails that I got after I was selling one of my products. She says, she told me basically I write too much content, my sales page is too long, blah, 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 blah. But here's the key part. I would see if you can say what you need to say in one paragraph and still get people to sign up. What? How stupid is that? Let me tell you something. If you're selling a high-priced product, it's rude of you to only write one paragraph. Because how are people going to have the right amount of information to make the right decision? They can't do it. So most people out there who are scared of selling think to themselves, you know what, I have this new product. Let me just send out a baby email. Two paragraphs maybe. And I'm just going to mention it once. That's it. There's this guy, Nomad Matt. Has anyone heard of Nomad Matt? Yes? All right. So he had a book come out recently. And he has a mailing list of, tens of thousands of people. He released his book, slaved over this book, released the book, and then he wanted to announce this book to his list, and he emailed his list once. Just once. And I asked him, I was like, what the hell are you doing? Email again. You spent a year writing this book, and you're only going to email your list once? What do you have, 40% open rates? Yes, that's fine. But what about the other 60% of people? What if they're on vacation? What if they didn't see the first email? I don't know about you, but I get hundreds of emails every day, and I miss emails pretty much all the time. I need someone to mail me something at least 12 times before I see it. So, and then when you are mailing, you gotta give people the information they need to make the decision. What information are you gonna give? Well, I want to reveal this social trigger sell anything framework in a minute, but I want to ask all of you one simple question. If you've spent time building your lists, your website, your exposure, your connections, everything, and you're not selling your product, who suffers? Everyone suffers. You're suffering, but more important, your ideal customers are suffering. Why is that? Well, chances are, you're proud of your work. Raise your hand if you're proud of your work. Come on, everyone's going to raise their hand because we're all arrogant. I understand. Everyone's proud of their work. And chances are you think that, or at least had a thought, whether you're ashamed of it or not, that what you sell might be better than what your competitors are selling. Yes? Yeah. Hell yeah. Everything of mine is better than everyone else's. It's just it's the way it is. So not only, if you believe this and you're not selling it, your customers are suffering because they might buy one of your competitors' products and it's inferior to yours. So you're actually doing them a disservice by not selling your products and services to them. So not only do you suffer revenue-wise, your customers suffer. I'm ashamed of everyone who doesn't sell their products because they're ruining their customers' lives. So, let's go a little bit further. What types of people read your website? Well, the first type of person is the believers. And even though this kind of looks like me from behind, it's really not. It's iStock photo. I picked it out because it looks like me, though. The first type of people that read your site are the believers. These are people who will buy whatever you put out by putting out just one paragraph. They'll do it. These are these people, like when I first launched one of my products, I put up the sales page, I sent the link out, I had a sale in 3 seconds. And I emailed that guy. I was curious. I was like, hey, man, did you mess up? Like, is this an accident? And he just responds. He goes, hey, man, I've been waiting for you to put something out for a year, so I didn't even care what you were selling. I was ready to buy it. Let me tell you, though, this is not the majority of people. This is like, you know, 1 in 1,000. Maybe 1 in 5,000. Most people are just not going to buy your products and services sight unseen. But they do exist. Those are the believers. The next type of people are the disbelievers. I try to find an angry old guy on purpose because I knew there'd be mainly women in the audience. But anyway, this guy, he's a disbeliever. What is a disbeliever? This is someone who hates what you do but still manages to subscribe to you. It's kind of like that Howard Stern effect where people hate him but they still listen to him. They're on your site. These are the people that send you emails about, hey, you missed a period here, or your grammar could be better, or you know what, if I were you, I would only send the one, like that person that emailed me. That's a disbeliever. They're on your list. Now, there's a third type of person. But I want to ask you something. Before I reveal that third type of person, where do you think your sales come from? The bulk of your sales. Well, some of them come from the believers. You'll have a small sliver come from disbelievers because, believe it or not, those same people that like to correct your grammar will buy your product just to tell you how bad it is. The large majority of your sales comes from a group of people that I call the sideliners. These are the people that are literally standing on the line. They don't know if they hate you. They don't know if they like you. Maybe they're a little bit closer to liking you. Maybe they're a little bit closer to hating you. They're not sure yet. But if you want to turn a sideliner into a believer, you can't do that with one paragraph. You have to give them the right amount of information. You have to push them over the edge. You have to either make them love you or make them hate you. And that's what this Sell Anything framework is all about. I'm going to show you today a 10-step formula for turning these sideliners into believers or sales. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. The last time you launched a product, did you have some people email you and they were like concerned that this product might not be for them? Yes? Never? Tell me about this. Never happened? They either just want to buy your stuff or never buy it? What's your name? The what? Interesting. What do you sell? I'm curious. Interesting. Nice. Okay. So of those divorced women, if you're only getting people that aren't questioning you, there's actually more people out there that'll buy what you sell. When I first launched my product, I had a 3% refund rate, and I was pissed off. Let me tell you why I was pissed off. Because that means I converted every single person who already wanted to buy into a buyer, but I didn't take any of the sideliners and turn them into buyers. The sideliners will have a higher refund rate. So now when I launch products, not only do I want people questioning what I'm selling, I want a refund rate in the 10 to 15% range. If it's less than that, I know I didn't sell my product hard enough because I didn't convert enough of these people who were standing on the sideline into a buyer. So I want you all to remember this. If you have low refund rates, it doesn't mean you're good. It means you're bad at marketing. Let's keep going about the Sell Anything framework. Over the last 100 years, direct marketing copywriters honed their ability to convert cold prospects into paying customers. These are the people who would send you spam mail. And they would be able to convert people who they spam people, and they'd manage to convert those people into buyers. Imagine how hard that is. They would do it. They have a lot of techniques. When you use their techniques in your businesses, it's a lot easier to convert these people because a lot of you, I imagine, are creating value. You either are running blogs, you care about what you're doing, you're actually building lists ethically. Not everyone does it, but I'm getting spammed over the last few days to make $20,000 in 5 seconds. But most of you don't do stuff like that. You're building your list ethically. When you use these principles to sell, it's going to make selling a whole lot easier. Does this sound good? Yes. All right. To really figure out your copywriting skills, it takes a tremendous amount of time. Time you probably don't have. I spent years studying copywriting and direct marketing, and I'm only now starting to feel like I know what I'm doing. And I've been doing this for like 7 years. You don't have time to spend on learning copywriting for 7 years. So what I want to do with you today is bubble up the Sell Anything framework that I believe over the next 20 minutes or so, I will make you a better salesperson and I will make you sell your products better than you're already selling them. It's a 10-part sequence, so get ready to start writing this stuff down. The first part is get attention. When you're writing a sales page, an email, whatever it is you're doing, your goal is to make sure you get people's attention. Now, this is often done with the headline or the image on that post. You want to get attention. Now, what do you want or how do you get attention? There's two ways to do it. The first way is you want to have a headline that promises a benefit, something like, how to make $4,000 in 27 days doing 4 hours of work. That's real spammy, but you want to promise something real specific in your headline. Because if you're making promises that people want, they're going to keep reading. The people who don't want that promise will stop reading, and that's fine because they're not going to buy what you're selling anyway. They don't want what you're promising them. The second way to do it is called create a headline that creates an information gap. Let me give you an example. How to increase sales by 600%, how to make $2,271 in 7 days, how to land major media with no connections. Those are all headline promises. These last two headlines, why bloggers fail and the number one conversion killer in your web design, is an information gap headline. What's the difference? Well, in psychology, there's a study done by George Lowenstein where he studied the science and psychology of curiosity. And he discovered that when there's a gap between what people know and what people want to know, they'll desperately seek to close that gap. And if you look at those last two headlines, why bloggers fail, I'm promising them to let them know why bloggers fail, but you're sitting there wondering, why does it happen? Or the number one conversion killer in your web design, you're sitting there thinking like, I have bad conversions, there's a conversion killer, what is it? I'm creating a gap between what people know and what people want to know, and when people read this, if they're interested in what you're promising, they're going to keep reading it no matter what. Because they need to know the answer. I mean, how many times have you had like a friend put out some passive-aggressive Facebook update and you text them within 5 minutes? I do it all the time. It's because you want to know. When the information gap is open, you got to close it. The same works for headlines. The second part, third part, and fourth part is this idea between what is, what could be, and how to get there. So after you have this great headline that pulls people in, you want to do this new formula of what is, what could be, and how to get there. I'm actually borrowing this language and terminology from Nancy Duarte, who is the CEO of probably the largest presentation design firm in the world. I think they have like 100 employees, and all they do is design presentations. She wrote a book called Resonate, where she said some of the world's best speakers in the world use this idea of comparing the world of what is versus the world that could be. And creating that contrast makes people interested to keep listening. So you want to create this contrast right in the beginning of your article. Let's describe some examples. If you're describing the world that what is, let's say you are helping divorced women. And you are thinking, you want to start off with a promise. You then start off that post with, have you ever woken up feeling like you were out of energy because you're depressed about being alone? And then now you're describing how they feel or how they currently feel. Compare that with, imagine what it would be like if you woke up tomorrow at 5 a.m. and went to the gym. Would that feel, and now you're comparing this of what could be. They're going to start thinking like, wait a second. I'm never going to wake up at 5 a.m. I'm never going to wake up at 5 a.m. But they're going to start thinking that too. And then they're going to start to wonder, here's what is, I'm depressed. Here's what could be, waking up 5 a.m. ready to take the day on. And now their next question is, the information gap, how do I get there? Here's an example. You know you're a great photographer. Your work speaks for itself. Your clients are satisfied. The problem is you have to fight tooth and nail for each and every client while one of your competitors, who you feel you're better than, has more business and customers. This is an example of describing the world of what is, the bad world. Now, what could be, as we walk through with the divorce example, even though you're frustrated by that other photographer, the one you know you're better than, imagine what his life might be like. He doesn't have to discount his services just to make ends meet. Customers come to him day in and day out. He gets to turn people away. How great would it feel to be in his position? Here I am comparing this horrible world to this great world, heaven and hell, if you will. You want to compare the worst with the best so people know where they currently are and where they could be. Then you want to nail this contrast home. Copywriters call this twisting the knife. Once you create this idea, I know this is a real dirty sounding terminology, but once you create this world of what is and what could be, you really want to describe that world to them. You want to really let them know that they're in this. Some people might not even realize that they're living in this world. It's like someone who's in a bad relationship. They don't realize it for a year until you kind of push them along the way. Then you want to explain how to get there. Now, this is where you want to introduce your product. So you start with the headline, you talk about the bad world, you talk about the good world. Now you say that if you want to go from bad to good, Nancy Duarte calls this crossing the chasm, all you got to do is check out my product. You don't say buy your product, you just mention that your product exists. You don't sell your product yet. Right now you're trying to open another information gap to make them want your product. Because no matter what you're doing, when you want to convert a sideliner into a believer, you have to create desire. This is based off of a book that's about 50 years old. It's called Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz. And he said that you can't make people want anything. They have to want it for themselves. The only way you can make them want it is to really just describe this world and make them think to themselves, you know what? I do want it. So you have to mention your product and then stop. Let's keep going. You no longer need to be frustrated. The photographer, the one you know you're better than, is taking advantage of a simple referral marketing tactic that almost anyone can implement. It's not clear to the naked eye, but he's using a piece of software I developed to engineer referrals. At this point, if you're a photographer, you're probably thinking, how do I get that software? Or what is that software? I'm not even saying the product yet. I'm just introducing the idea. Let's keep going. This is known as the best sales letter. I wasn't allowed to put it up here because it was too long and it wouldn't fit. But if you want to see the full version, there's no opt-in or anything. I just pasted it on the website. This is one of the best-selling sales letters of the last, like, 40 years. It was for a Wall Street Journal advertisement where they would send spam mail to people to try and get people to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. Check this out for a second. On a beautiful late spring afternoon 25 years ago, two young men graduated from the same college. They were very much alike, these two young men. Both had been better than average students, both were personable, and both, as young college graduates, are and were filled with ambitious dreams for the future. What is? Recently, these men returned to their college for their 25th reunion. They were still very much alike, but both were happily married, both had three children, and both, it turned out, had gone to work for the same Midwestern manufacturing company after graduation. We're still there, twisting the knife a little bit. But there was a difference. One of these men was the manager of a small department of that company. The other was its president. Do you see how compelling this is? This letter then goes on to explain that the person who became the president subscribed to the Wall Street Journal and got all this information first. And it's funny, but you could see how compelling this article is. You can use this in your sales copy. And it's like, it's not manipulation. It's just describing the current world and letting people connect with what you're offering. Because if they're on the sideline and they don't believe or disbelieve you yet, you need to do a little bit more to push them over the edge. And something like this, what is, what could be, how to get there, is what you need to do to start pushing people over that edge. What's after this? Now, remember I said you're only naming the product or saying what you're promising. You're not going into detail selling your product yet. First, you have to build trust, likability, and establish expertise. You have to figure out why the person buying from you should trust you. Because despite what you like, the believers already trust you. The disbelievers think you're an asshole. The sideliners, on the other hand, are still trying to make a decision. And you got to persuade them by showing your credentials. How do you build trust and likability? Well, the best way to do it is to tell a personal story. Right after you do the headline, what is, what could be, how to get there, now you introduce yourself and how you got into this. There's a three-part formula for this. You want to state the big problem you had, share your big frustration with solving this problem, describe how you discovered the solution, which is your solution. So let's do a live example right now. Who wants to raise their hand about and tell me what their product is? What's your product? Yes.
Dog trainer selling training packages to people.
So I just got, can you make my dog pee on a wee-wee pad? I just got a dog like 2 weeks ago. He's peed all over the house.
Yeah.
How would you start selling this? Do you have a dog that just pees wherever the hell he wants to pee? Have you ever brought him on your bed and he peed on your pillow and had to throw out a pillow? Here's the world of what is. I know this firsthand right now because he's literally peed everywhere. All right? You want to describe that world of what is?
Okay.
What could be? Imagine if you said sit and your dog not only sat down, but like smiled while he did it.
Or stayed there until you released him.
And stayed there. That'll never happen with this dog, I don't think. But I'm hoping. Imagine what it would be like if you actually said jump and he jumped, or he said stop, he would stop, he would tell him to go to the bathroom, he would do it. He's basically doing everything you tell him to do. That's what could be. Now, how do you get there? Well, it turns out that I've got this new training that helps you train your dog, or I sell this training where I can make your dog do everything you say. But first, let me tell you how I got into this. A few years ago, I had a dog that I was super frustrated in. Not only did he chew up all my shoes, ruin my clothes, pee on the bed, I then started to get frustrated about it. That's the problem you had. Then you're like, I started to get frustrated. I started doing my own research about how I would solve this. I then stumbled on this method, which I now packaged up for you. Do you see how that works? Now, your story might not be exactly like that. So tell me what your story is.
Well, it's interesting because when I first looked at this slide, I thought I couldn't really relate to that because I was a horse trainer growing up, and then I was a professional dolphin trainer for 10 years, and now I'm dog training. So I didn't think I really had something like that, but I actually did have a dog while I was a dolphin trainer that I had a huge problem with that was lots of frustration. It was dangerous yep. with my daughter when she was first born.
Okay, so this is a good example. If you never had the problem yourself, though, you don't always have to tell your own personal story. You could tell one of your clients' stories. You can say, hey, actually, I first had a friend who had a dog who was having a problem. I was already an expert dolphin trainer and horse trainer, so I knew how to train animals. So I decided to help my friend out so she didn't have to buy new shoes every 3 weeks. And then I started to study up on dog training. I started to discover that the same way you train a dolphin and a horse, which I have 20 years experience in, is the same way you train a dog. And now I'm starting to share these inside training tricks that I learned from training dolphins and horses on how it works with training dogs. That might apply a little bit more for you, right?
Right.
That's a perfect example of what is, what could be, how to get there, and then using this idea of building trust and likability just by telling a story about yourself or one of your customers. Great. Does this make sense so far? Say yes.
Yes.
Perfect. Let's keep going. We'll skip this. After you build trust and likability, people are going to start thinking, are you full of it? Because you start telling your story, they're going to think, you know what, how do I know they're just not making this up? Have you ever read a sales page where they start making all these promises and you're like, wait a second. No. Yes? Has it ever happened? And then maybe you start to see some testimonials where it might push you over the edge just a little bit because maybe you see a testimonial that connects directly with you and you start to think, if they can do it, I can do it. Now, what kind of testimonials do you want to start using? Well, let's go through that right now. Let me see my time. All right. So an example of a bad testimonial, and this is something that I see everyone doing. So hopefully after today, none of you will do this. A bad testimonial is, your product is so amazing, everyone should buy it. Or, I really love working with John. He's amazing to work with. He really understands me. These are bad testimonials. Why are they bad testimonials? Because they're not saying anything. Everybody can find someone to say nice things about them. People could just make people up to say nice things about them, actually. However, if you want to write a good testimonial, you want it to be specific and connect with one of your ideal customers. Example, even though I run an e-commerce business, I was able to adapt your software to help me close 20% more in sales. Here I have a promise, and that makes a good testimonial because it's connecting the testimonial or the person with a specific result. But what's most important here is I say, even though I run an e-commerce business. So now everyone who's reading this sales page that runs an e-commerce business is thinking, I run an e-commerce business. This is going to work for me. For the dog training, you might have a testimonial that will say, even though I have no time, let's say you sell an information product, even though I have no time because I have a very busy work career, I was able to use her method to train my own dog. You're connecting with the busy people, yes. Yeah, so how do you get this to happen? You have to build it into your marketing. After you, let's say you go through one of my courses, you go through everything. Right around the 30-day mark after it completes, I send an email where I actually have someone call the person on the phone if they're willing. Sometimes I'll bribe them with, you know, I'll give you a gift card or something just for your time for a 20-minute call. And this person will record that call and just ask them questions to try and get the meat out of them. And then after you're done with that call, you'll just do a follow-up and say, hey, here's what I got from this. You know, you got this because of this, and you write it for them, essentially, after you talk to them for 20 minutes, email it to them and say, do you agree with this? They say yes. Then you send them a testimonial release form so you can publish it on your website. And you'll find after they do the call and everything like that, they're okay with this because it's their words. Yes. Well, I do it because a lot of people don't do it. I just do it because I'd rather cover my ass. You never know what's going to happen. You don't have, I know people who don't, but I do it. I'm not a lawyer. You should talk to a lawyer for that. This is not legal advice. I'm not allowed to say anything about legal stuff. But I talked to a lawyer. He told me that I should use it just to cover my ass. Now, let's say someone does send you a nice thing. Like, let's say they send it to you unsolicited. They send you an email. Derek, I really love your Social Triggers website. Period. At that point, it's your job to say, really, tell me more about this. Let me know. How did I help you? What were you struggling with? What happened? And you'll find that if they're going to go out of their way to tell you how great you are, they're going to send you like 20 paragraphs afterwards to tell you how great you are even more. So if you're ever feeling down, just ask people to say nice things about you. It's great. All right? So that's another way to do it. Talk to a lawyer for your other question. When you're posting testimonials, you want to ensure they address the concerns of your ideal customer. Many of us have different types of customers. We don't have one customer. I think Malcolm Gladwell did this big story about spaghetti, about how they discovered that there's no one perfect spaghetti sauce. There's perfect spaghetti sauces. The same thing applies for customers. There's no one ideal customer. There's a group of ideal customers. And you want your testimonials to speak for each version of your ideal customer. So for me, I sell marketing advice. I'll have a testimonial from a health coach. I'll have a testimonial from a small business. I'll have a testimonial from an e-commerce person. Just to make sure that people seeing these testimonials are going to believe what I just said previously. Getting this? Yes? Let's keep going. When you're posting the testimonials, you want to address these concerns. And here's an example. This is one of my clients, a deacon. He said, I thought it was 90% about creating amazing content, but I found it was about promoting content. That's for one of my courses. And he was like, that's one of the biggest concerns people have is when they start a blog. I sell a blogging course or whatever. And they think, I'm not going to have time to create all this content. I don't have any ideas. So one of my main featured testimonials is you don't have to create content. Just because I'm addressing that concern right off the bat. Let's keep rolling. After you give these testimonials, now's the time to sell. Now's the time to talk about what you're offering and how it's going to help people. You want to state benefits. Does everyone here know the difference between features and benefits? Say no if you don't. No. All right. A feature is something specific like this computer has 8 gigabytes of RAM. I don't know what that means. A benefit is this computer has 8 gigabytes of RAM. You could have open 7 programs and your computer won't be lagging. That one's a feature, something specific, something that you could usually quantify. A benefit is how that thing relates to your ideal customer. Now, how can you turn features into benefits? Well, here's just one more example. This training has 12 videos, 5 ebooks, and 5 audio files. How many of you have ever wrote on your sales page, like how many hours of training you're giving or how many videos you're giving them? All that, nobody cares. Because in the end, it's like, it doesn't matter how many hours it is, what's it going to do for me? Right? Right. This training has 12 videos each of which walk you through how to set up a blog that converts. That's like an example of just turning a feature into a benefit. How do you do it? There's something called the Sow That technique. I don't know who originally coined this. It was a copywriter. I would love to give credit, but I don't know who it was. So here's how this works. You want to sow that all of your sentences. If you say this course has 5 videos, this course has 5 videos, sow that you. Or this course has 8 gigabytes, well, not course. This computer has 8 gigabytes of RAM so that you can open up more programs at once without lagging. Who wants to do an example of their product? Raise your hands. Glasses.
My bed and breakfast has a kitchen so that you don't have to spend money outside.
Bam. Perfect. Next. You're set. You. Who wakes up and thinks, I really can't wait to do something today? My preferred state is doing nothing. So you want to turn that, like, I give you action plans so you never wake up and think, what do I need to do? You know exactly what you need to do. Like, you can kind of relate this to, you don't ever have to worry about not knowing what to do because I tell you what to do. Yes, so, but why are you giving them assignments? So that they know what they're doing, correct? Yeah. That's why you give the assignment. You give them the assignment so they know what to do and how to do it. Yeah. And if they need help, they can email you. That's the direct benefit. But that's an example of turning something specific like that into a, I guess, tell me more about your course. So it's bite-sized. So this is that's a sales point. So I'm delivering you bite-sized action tips so you're not spending every day of your week watching an hour-long video. Right. Now less content is a sales point. Yes. And it's less because I want you to spend the time doing what you need to do and not watching or entertaining yourself with my videos.
Right. Less content, but
that's what you want to say. You want to say we're giving you these bite-sized action points so that you can get to taking action, knowing exactly what you need to do and not wasting an hour consuming a video because you don't even have that hour anyway. So that's kind of like how you turn bite-sized into a sales pitch. It's a little tough to not know what the action point is. Like, what's one of your action points?
The first one is to trust yourself.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so trust. So why would I want to trust myself?
So you can make better
decisions. So you're not being wishy-washy about your decision. You're not flip-flopping. You're confident. All right, so that is the first assignment is this idea where I can show you how to not flip-flop on your decision-making. You don't want to say trust yourself because you're giving away your product then. You want to say how you're not going to flip-flop on your decisions and you're going to make a decision and stick with it.
Right.
That would be an example of a benefit for that particular assignment. Perfect. Yes. All right.
This book has a chapter on concrete strategies so that you can find the spending data up front.
concrete steps so you can finally spend a day without crying. Is that the whole point of the, is there anything else? That is, I like this, and that's one bullet. So what's the name of one of these strategies? Do you name them? So you want to say that. So for example, on Social Triggers, I have something that I call the drafting technique. The drafting technique is so you can ensure that you can land major media when you want it. Like you want to name it, and when actually, this is a side note, when you name something, people assume it's more valuable. I don't know why, but when you call drafting technique, which is how to email people and actually not be an ass about it, they feel like it's like revolutionary ideas. Just name the concept. And then you want to introduce that name, and then you could say, what's one of the names for me? Make a mantra. So unfortunately, that kind of is exactly what it is, and you're kind of giving away the boat there. Name it something like the X technique. The X technique so you can a simple yet little used technique to ensure you can go through the day without crying. You don't want to name it what it is. All right, let's keep going. Everyone's clear on this so that idea, right? Yes? After you state the benefits, now is the time to get people, you ask people to buy your stuff. This is where you want to ask them to buy. And here's what you want to do. You want to explain exactly what you're selling, the extras you provide with purchase, the reason why there's no risk for purchasing, and a strong call to action. These are four parts of an irresistible offer. You want to say what it is you're selling. This is a four-week-long training that has 12, even though I said don't say talk about videos or whatever, this is where you want to talk features, but keep it short. Say what it is. Describe your bonuses, the reason why there's no risk, like the risk-free guarantee, and then say, hey, give me some money. And you want to ask for it. Don't like beat around the bush and say, you know, if you really feel like you don't want to buy this, don't buy, you know, you can't, it's called selling from your heels. Here's where you're actually, if you believe in what you say, say, if you buy this product, you are going to do X, Y, and Z. You're never going to be depressed again. Now, make sure you can actually back this promise up because then you're lying to people. But, question. What kind of products? So, with jewelry, it's a whole other... This is a longer sales page for more complicated products. For what you're doing, you can describe this, but I would condense it even shorter. Like, I would make everything a half a sentence. You can kind of bake all this stuff into one sentence. Like, have you ever walked into a room and realized that you're wearing the same earrings as someone else? Didn't that feel weird? Well, with this is a unique piece of jewelry. So that's like an example of what is and how to get there. Example, invest in my training and you'll learn how to attract your first 1,000 subscribers in 6 months, not selling from the heels. Plus, you also gain access to bonuses and all the risk is on me. I have a 30-day no questions asked refund policy. Perfect example of a short, succinct, irresistible offer. After you make that offer, here's where you want to allay objections. People are going to be like, you know what? This is great, but is it going to work in my business? Or how is it going to work for the jewelry business, the divorce business? They're going to ask all these questions. Here's where you want to allay objections. So, as I said, what you're talking about works for you, but there's no way it works for me. Is what you're selling truly worth the money? This sounds great. I'll make sure to pick it up in a couple of days. These are three major objections. Procrastination, it doesn't work for me, and is it really worth it? Now, let me share a different idea called the therapeutic metaphor. This is an idea that my friend Jonathan Fields told me about. I think this is used in psychotherapy. And it's just so simple where you can't actually, a lot of us describe people's problems and say you, like you're frustrated by, you're annoyed by this. You say you. When you say you, it gives people the opportunity to say, no, that's not me. Because people get defensive when you call them out. So when you use this idea of a therapeutic metaphor, it's where you talk about someone else and talk about their problems, and then people start to think, you know what? They're not talking about me, but I can relate to this. So I have this example. A subscriber of mine, let's call her Joan, contacted me and said, I blogged for 12 months, blah, blah, blah. Joan was the real deal. She slaved over her blog. She put in the time and work, but she wasn't seeing any results. Sure, she was a great coach, but she didn't understand how to make her blog work for her. She all but forgot about sales because her blog would barely get one comment. But Joan's story isn't unique. In fact, everyone has this same problem. Everyone has failed blogs. At this point, this is how I started off my sales page that has done a significant amount of revenue for me, just with this one story. talking about Joan. If you're reading this and you have a blog, you can start to think to yourself, you know what? He's not saying I suck, but he's saying that, you know what? This, I understand, I can relate to this. Maybe I get 3 comments or I get 5 comments. I'm allaying an objection by using a therapeutic metaphor. After you do those ways of allaying objections, the final part of the sales letter is usually the PS. You've seen the PSs at the end. It doesn't have to be a PS. All a PS really is turning these people who scanned all of your content and letting them get the hard-hitting facts about what you're selling in the shortest amount of time. And all you want to do is rehash your benefits and give more proof. Say what it is you're trying to do. I'm trying to make sure you're not crying every day of the week. Here's a testimonial saying she's not crying every day of the week. And you want to end the sales page just like that. That's the 10-step sequence. Get attention, what is, what could be, how to get there, build trust, likability, provide testimonials, state benefits, make irresistible offer, allay objections, and rehash benefits, and give more proof. And I'm done.